Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Worship King Michael, thank you. Good morning, saints. Hallelujah. This is the legislative body of God, full of glory in the Holy Ghost. It's good to see you this morning. How was your week? Hey, from glory to glory, yeah? You're in the right place at the right time. And so we bless and welcome you this morning. Amen, Pastor.
Amen. Glory to God. Before you go ahead and stand up again. I know you've been standing. I'm going to blow the shofar over you.
Hallelujah.
We are entering the high holiday. We are of faith, of foundations, Judeo-Christian foundations. So we get a lot of our types, our shadows, of what the origin of our faith is in the Old Testament. And for Israel and the Jewish people, people of Jewish faith, this is the high holidays. But it has deep meaning for us. So this is, on Wednesday, we begin Wednesday through, some celebrate for 2 days. Depends. Some celebrate for a day. But it's the feast, the season of the Feast of Trumpets, okay? So here I'm going to blow a trumpet blast over you for blessing and releasing the blessings of the Jewish New Year, okay? This is Rosh Hashanah. The rabbi usually takes the ram's horn and blows it. Some in the Old Testament, they would have silver horns to blow the trumpet blast. But amen, we say Hatzameah. Hatzameah.
Hatzameah.
Happy high holidays. Amen?
Yes, it does.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory to God. And God is so awesome and he's so such a blessing to us. And may you be in faith to receive. Are you open to receive more blessing? Are you open to receive more of the goodness of God? Say, God is a good God.
God is a good God.
And for this season, starting with the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, and then we'll go on. We get a double whammy of Happy New Year. This is the Jewish New Year, the head of the year. And so we welcome the new year as far as the Jewish calendar is concerned and welcome all the goodness of God. Okay, God is a good God. Say, God is a good God.
God is a good God.
And whatever some negative things happen or are challenging in your life, you take the goodness of God with you to overcome and then not only be blessed, but be a blessing. Say, I'll be a blessing.
I'll be a blessing.
So that is God's double blessing. Not only did he tell Abraham, I'm going to bless you, but secondarily, just as important, and I will make you a blessing. I will make your children a blessing. So we are not only, I am open for more blessing, but I'm going to release the blessing on others.
Amen.
So you are carriers of the blessing. How many of you want to carry more blessing?
Amen, Lord.
So this, I really am in expectation of 2017 being a very significant breakthrough year.
Amen.
For many of us. That
Amen.
Some, there is a shift, but it's shift to the next level of glory. Okay? Say the next level.
The next level.
And by faith, together, we're going to go on. Just like Moses led the children of Abraham, all the children of Israel, from Egypt, from the slavery of Egypt, It's like sometimes we can get set in our ways and get so attached. It's, I don't know. I don't want to move anywhere further. I'm nervous. Be released from fear. Because Moses said, we're going to go to the promised land.
Yes.
Believe me,
yes.
It's going to be better than
yes.
where you are at. We're going forward. All right? Hallelujah. And in that, I just wanted to underline that while mentioning how the Lord kind of arranges things, that when in my life, Bonnie's life, when we think of blessing Israel and receiving flesh blessings from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, one of the ones that we never fail to remember, one of the key person in our life, is Robert Stern.
Yes.
He's Bishop Robert Stern.
Yes.
But we started going to Israel in the mid-70s onwards. Bonnie and I would go often, and then I started doing for 23 years in a row, did the miracle services for about, usually there would be about 2,000 people in the miracle service on the specific Friday, Sabbath night service, healing service in Jerusalem. And I remember when the second or third year, fall thing, something happened where there was no one to lead worship. I looked around. I thought they had arranged, and there was no one there. And here were about 2,000 people gathered together. And I thought ICEJ had arranged for that.
And because it was Shabbat, of course, in Israel, there is no sound system allowed. Can't use that power. And so you obviously need someone who can actually lead worship without a microphone, without a sound system, and, you know, help the crowd enter in.
And up comes a young man and just starts playing for me.
Yeah.
And we
and
got to be
amazing.
And he has played for the New York Symphony.
Yeah.
And has led major get-togethers to bless Israel in New York City.
Performed and in that Madison is Square Garden.
Performed in Madison Square Garden. And that is Bishop Robert Stern.
Yes.
So our good friend Robert Stern is going to be here tomorrow, right here, to help us start this high holidays and welcome the new season. And one of the significant aspects of the high holidays, as we go into the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, then Yom Kippur, and then ending, the climax is Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah.
So, and all of this, by the way, as I talk about these are all emblematic. These are types and shadows of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So you see Jesus expressed in one way or the other in each of these feasts, and helping us start out, we have seen that visually. I would go to the Western Wall almost every night when I would be there for several days, and you should see the Jewish people. I mean, they go almost crazy in ecstasy and awe and worship at the Western Wall. So they just dance all night sometimes, and we just worship the Lord. So these days are just like going to the highest level of worship and praise from the origins of our faith. Jesus was Jewish, as you know. He was a rabbi.
That's a good point.
And, of course, he's our Savior. But these are all customs that we can learn from, that these are things from which we receive, take every bit of energy and juice from this precious blessing of the new year. So we begin with awesome worship tomorrow, all right?
Yes.
So make sure you are here, and it's going to be basically just pure worship and praise with Bishop Robert Stearns and our team. And I'm so delighted, tickled, that
Thank
we are starting out the year.
Yeah.
The high holidays with that
as
part of the worship.
Yes.
So, and invite others, okay? As many as you can, they are welcome. We'll just celebrate. Tell your neighbor, celebrate.
Come celebrate.
Amen. By the way, the other thing, I didn't get a chance to tell you this, but as I was stepping out of the shower this morning, I got a phone call from
Doug. This is a news flash. I don't know this yet.
Doug and Kari Curtis.
Yes.
Said, Pastor, we wanted to just tell you, thank you. They live in Fort Lauderdale. They live right on the coastline itself. We used to live there too. So they're very dear friends. They have attended. They're committed partners for many years. But they just say, please convey our thanks to the church and to the watch. The Lord, we felt like utter destruction was coming our way in Irma. And we were almost completely untouched. And right now, just a moment ago, our power came on. And so we wanted to especially call you and say thank you,
hallelujah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, church.
Thank you, Lord.
All nations.
Yes. Wow.
Hallelujah.
That's special. That is
Amen.
Awesome. Yes.
Amen. So as we begin Rosh Hashanah, I want you to turn to the Bible, and we will look at Leviticus 23. Remember, all the feasts are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And this church and this watch has, I mean, part of its umbilical cord is with Jerusalem and blessing Israel, all right? Mm-hmm. It is, you know, it says in Psalm, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper
Amen.
Who love thee.
Yeah.
So there is a kind of blessing and prosperity, I believe, that people miss if they are not blessing Israel and Jerusalem. But we are blessed. Say, we are blessed.
We are blessed.
So we have, from the birthing way years ago of our, since the time, even before we got married, we were blessers of Israel, and we would prayer warriors for blessing Israel and Jerusalem. And then we started going almost every year when we could to Israel during the Feast of Tabernacles. And we have had a great connection. And then with Bishop Robert Stearns, we are involved, have been involved, and with Barry Siegel.
And Batya Siegel.
And
yeah.
Batya. To bless and feed people, right? Daily feeding of the poor, that there are many who have come from overseas, some refugees, some who have suffered a lot, but there are feeding centers, and we have helped in that, and we continue to do so. But so you are involved with people who are actively involved, Robert Stearns, us, in blessing Israel. So this church is connected with what we're talking about. All right, so in that context then, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24. By the way, as you go out, I might forget, so this is, and then I'm going to let Bonnie talk here. But right here in my pocket, I have a sample of the promised land provision. And you will be able to participate as you go out in the lobby at the end, as we release you. You will get a little piece of this promised land provision.
The greeting on Rosh Hashanah is Shana Tova. Say Shana Tova.
Shana Tova.
It means have a good and sweet year. Have a good and sweet year. And the tradition is to take slices of apple and dip them in honey and put that on your friend's mouth as you say, Shana Tova, have a good and sweet year. It literally is prophesying over them that this year they will enter in to God's predetermination for prosperity and goodness to come their way. And so we have for you a bit of honey. Be in the lobby.
Yeah, bit of honey. Yeah.
Say Shana Tova.
Shana Tova.
Look at your neighbor, say, may you have a good and sweet year. Hallelujah.
And honey, at this season, you might get a little extra helping of honey, put honey in your tea, do something extra with honey. But they not only the tradition in Rosh Hashanah is not only you eat honey, but you eat apple slices, slice the apple, dip it in honey. Now, the apple is already sweet. And then you put honey on it. That's double sweetness. And that's typical of the Lord. The Lord says, I'm going to bless you double. It is not take all the sweetness of God. Take the double. May this year coming up be doubly sweet.
Hallelujah.
For you, sure. For your children, your grandchildren, for your finances and for your household.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Shana Tova.
All right. Tova.
So that's why this season, this is in Leviticus 23. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. That's why we had some more blowing of trumpets this morning. I so appreciate it. This worship was so anointed.
It was amazing. And Lily's word about the honey was absolutely brilliant in terms of in the anointing. She said, it's not like normal. It's like honey coming on us, sticking to us. Hallelujah.
Prophetic. Hallelujah. You have a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also the tenth day of this seventh month. So you see, it begins with Rosh Hashanah. You shall be the day of atonement, so the days of awe. And the day that, I mean, for us, Jesus is our atoning sacrifice. He shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. Otherwise, they call it the Yom Kippur. It's the most holy day of the Jewish year. And they are all, on that day, they are fasting. To make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on that same day, that's the Sabbath, that person I will destroy from among his people. So if you're Jewish, I mean, you have to do some of these kind of disciplines that we need to be aware of. If you shall do no manner of work, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations.
And Pastor, if I can just inject one little thing on that. This is prophetically speaking in advance of Jesus literally doing all of the work to redeem us. That none of our righteousness nor would our salvation depend on any of our works or our righteousness. And this institution was teaching the people, though Jesus was hidden from them. Now it's for us. We can see clearly that from the very beginning, God was saying, this salvation will not be according to what you are able to do. But the good news is I will take the work upon myself. And it's the injunction of us entering by faith into rest in utter righteousness of Christ, looking forward to ultimately the redemption of the body and our eternal citizenship in heaven as citizens and sons and heirs of the promise and blessing. So those were the injunctions here regarding do no normal work and all of that, was showing in advance the gospel, and it is righteousness through faith alone, salvation through the finished work of Jesus alone. Hallelujah. That's good news. That should relieve us of a burden. He took the curse of the law. He took the curse that would have been against us if we had had to work to keep righteous statutes in order to be saved. Impossible for a human anyway. But the injunction again, or the invitation, is enter into the complete rest that Jesus has done it all. And you stand in right relationship and favor with God because of that finished work.
Amen.
What a relief. What a relief. That also helps us to communicate with folks who have not heard the good news, who have not received the gospel. If we have a demeanor or disposition or belief somehow that people have to get right in order to get God, then that's not the good news. But if we fully understand, hey, it's all Jesus. He did the work. It's finished, and it's for everyone. And we are in a period of amnesty. Again, Rosh Hashanah is all of the announcing towards the coming of the Lord, and that this is a time period to gather in the harvest. Bring the folks, bring the family together, bring the citizens into the kingdom of God, into relationship with the Father through Jesus. This is gathering time. And then the great ingathering will come when, with a shout, with a shofar blast, the Lord appears from heaven and comes to redeem the earth and gather his bride and his church to himself, and is shown then to be truly the King of Glory. The shofar blast was three things. It was gather the people. It was sound the alarm. It's a wake-up call that the king is about to be set in place. And the shofar blast was announcing the king being crowned. Hallelujah.
Amen. So, and he goes on, the Lord talks about how these several days of coming. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 33, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. It'll be for 7 days, and then it's Simchat Torah on the eighth day.
We'll
talk about
the
joy of the word. And we happen to be often, we look forward many years to be at the Simchat Torah in Jerusalem. But on the first day there shall be a holy convocation. It just goes on. But there are three major feasts, and each of them is fulfilled, like as we have said, in Jesus. There is the Passover, the Feast of Passover. Then there is Pentecost. And the third major feast is the Feast of Tabernacles. So these high holidays climax with the Feast of Tabernacles. And Passover has been fulfilled. Jesus is our Christ, our Passover, has been slain. Then Pentecost. Jesus poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost for us as Christians. And then the Feast of Tabernacles is fulfilled when Jesus returns and catches us all up and takes us to our eternal home.
Lord.
So it's a time of amazing, great celebration. The thing about the trumpets, I just want to give you just a little bit of insight on it, that in the Jewish tradition, the blowing the trumpet is equated with the voice of the Lord. It says in Exodus 19, verse 18 onwards, now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. So, I mean, these days, they're called the days of awe. And what it means, part of it is, and these are also the days of recognizing the love of God. Mm. So it is the days of awe, or the fear of God, but it's in the sense of saying, wow, God, you are awesome. That word awesome is connected with awe. And it is rightly so that God says, you haven't seen anything yet. You think I love you and I'm going to bless you. No, no, no. I'm going to do more, and he is awesome. So in that sense, though it is something that you hold God in great reverence and honor, and that people miss that word fear. It's the fear of God, but in the sense of reverencing him. He's so awesome, and he's our Father God, and he loves us. May he embrace you in these high holidays, and may you know the awesomeness of God and the love of God, how much he loves each one of you in these high holidays.
Amen. Amen. One of the central stories in the Jewish liturgy for Rosh Hashanah, in fact, the central story read on the second day, is called the Akedah, which means the binding, and it's from Genesis 22, and it's the story of Abraham going to Mount Moriah, which means seeing, the land of seeing. Say seeing.
Seeing.
Tell your neighbor, may you hear the voice, the Lord's voice, clearer and clearer, and may you see him in his works this year. So it's a hearing and a seeing. But Abraham, if you remember the story, the Lord spoke to him. First of all, he had waited until he was 100 years old. The shofar is blown 100 times during the Rosh Hashanah celebration. And it is literally remembering the fact that God keeps his promises. Because Abraham was 100 years old when finally the promise of the Lord that you will be the father of many nations and every family of the earth will be blessed through your family. Finally, when he was 100 years old, God fulfilled that promise. It's also read to remind that Abraham's faith meant obedience, and he was willing to risk everything on the word of the Lord and obeying him. And he obeyed, if you remember, he obeyed step by step, because now God has promised and delivered the promise in Isaac the son. And in actuality, though I know we think of Isaac as being maybe 9 or 8 years old, Isaac was probably closer to 30, 35, 40 years old. So he was a grown man, and he was the heir that was to bring to pass what God had promised for his covenant people. And in the story in Genesis 22, God suddenly comes to Abraham and asks Abraham. It says, after these things, Abraham had fought battles with kings and God had given him the victory. He'd confronted the whole Sodom thing and met Melchizedek and so on and so forth. And it says, after these things, as if he hadn't been tested enough, it says, after these things, the Lord tested Abraham. And he came and he said, take your son, your only son whom you love, and go to the mountain that I will show you. And so here we see this dramatic picture of this man of God taking everything, that all the stock that he has for a future and a hope and a fulfillment of God's promise, and he's going now by faith, the Lord has said, and offer him up to me. And that's why in the law, they gather and they bring an offering and they present it with fire. It's hearkening back to the fact that the Lord is faithful to keep his promises in the example of Abraham bringing Isaac to the mountain of seeing, Mount Moriah. And by the way, Mount Moriah is actually the mountain chain geographically where Calvary was, where Jesus was ultimately, the Son, was offered up in our stead. And you know the climax of the story is right as Abraham is prepared to slay his promise as an offering made by fire, completely consumed by the Lord out of simple faith and obedience. Abraham has made a unique statement to the people who went with him. He told the serving lads waiting behind that he and Isaac were going into the mountain and he and Isaac were coming back from the mountain. He believed that the Lord was able to resurrect what he had promised, if necessary, and the pathway was obedience. And there in the story, it says the angel of the Lord stayed Abraham's hand. That's a Christophany. That is an appearing of the pre-incarnate Christ who came to stand there on the mountain where Christ would offer himself as the Son in the future. And as he stayed Abraham's hand, Abraham, it says, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the ram caught in the thicket, which again is a type of our Christ. So that's the heart of the story around the Rosh Hashanah holiday.
Amen. And exactly, but and on that Mount Moriah in Genesis 22, Abraham specifically, when Isaac asks him, Father, here I am. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? In Genesis 22, verse 8, Abraham replies, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So, and this is one of the most awesome prophetic words in the Old Testament, because right there then, in the book of John, in John chapter 1, John the Baptist looks at Jesus coming and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world." So God, the word I want to say to you today is God will provide.
Yes.
Say, God will provide.
God will provide.
And I want you to receive that as a prophetic word for you, for your family.
Yeah.
Some of you need direction. I want to declare to you, God will provide.
Hallelujah.
There is some of you here or your son, daughter, looking for a job. God will provide. There are some who are looking for life partners. And I want to say, God will provide. For those of you who need housing, God will provide.
Amen.
This is the word, one of the names we want to receive and widen its perspective. Sometimes, as believers, that we get one aspect. There is some aspect that we can all get somewhat of a limiting religious spirit that'll focus on one little thing. And it's not bad. Mm-hmm. It's one thing. But God says, hey, in these days, I want you to widen your perspective. You may be looking at a palm tree and say, oh, wow, what a pretty palm tree. But as you widen your perspective and say, wow, this palm tree is on a beach, and this beach on a beautiful reef, and there are gorgeous thousands of fish swimming in there, and look at the provision here, look at the shoreline there, and
Hallelujah.
We just have our perspective is like the palm tree. And God says, I have all of this is yours. Don't just look at this thing. And God, for this year, as we receive Rosh Hashanah in the get in the word of the high holidays, God is providing for you.
Hallelujah.
God is providing for our loved ones. There is a mother, again, there's another mother that's being healed today.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank
I think
you, Lord.
There is a provision that God is giving for people who are in somewhat of between kind of saying,
it's good.
What will we do here?
Yeah.
And God says, the missing thing I'm going to add to you. Add your faith in this and believe I am Jehovah Jireh. God will provide.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, God is providing.
God is providing.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God,
glory to God.
I'm in the vision because the word Jireh, we say Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. It literally is the word for seeing. And it comes from what God said, what Abraham said to Isaac. God will see to it, the provision. So tell yourself, say self, for provision, the Lord will see to it himself. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you will see the Lord's provision this year. God will see to it himself. Amen. Amen. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. See the Lamb. See the ram caught in the thicket. The provision is already there. You just have to continue to obey and go by faith into the mountain. And you know, Mahesh, in Rosh Hashanah and reading the Akedah again, this morning during the soaking service, I found myself in tears because I entered into that story in our own testimony with both of our sons. And I remember the day that with Ben, our firstborn, we were in Miami Children's Hospital, and they had given Ben, they said newborn Ben was, he had 24 hours to live. There was nothing that medical science could do for him. And Mahesh, the church in Fort Lauderdale had begun to fast and pray. And Mahesh and I went into a little room and got down on our knees, and we offered our son up. We weren't thinking about Abraham or anything like that, but just in awe of the Lord and in confidence in his goodness and his salvation, that whatever happened, we said, Lord, we ask you for the life of our son in this life, but if you don't give him to us, we want you to know we will not be offended. We will serve you all the more, and even this will be a testimony to your faithfulness and to your glory. We're weeping and letting go of our son in that mountain of that oath, of that promise. And do you know, within a few hours, supernaturally, Ben's body chemistry changed and they were able to rush in and do an emergency surgery that actually began the physical work of saving his life. And of course, he is alive and well today and pursuing his dream in Hollywood. So,
amen.
I mean, we, you know, offered up our son. And excuse me, Pastor, I have another thing I would like to say. That $150 billion, can you say $150
billion? $150
billion. Do you know the Lord just repaid America $150 billion. I want you to catch on to this for a minute because, again, your son, your only son, I remember a few years ago when the whole engagement with some of the sending a whole fresh generation of our sons and daughters into war in the Middle East, so on and so forth, and the Lord spoke this word to me from Abraham and Isaac during the watch. And he said, Bonnie, I'm making a promise that as America historically has freely offered her best sons and daughters for the hope, for the dream of liberty for others, I will return and repay America for her offering, just like I blessed Abraham. And when this storm did what it did, and I saw that $150 billion misfire, suddenly I said, Lord, that's a little repayment in your faithfulness. So I want to speak a word of hope and restoration and recreation for this nation. God will remember. Will remember. God will remember. Thank you, Pastor. Thank
Amen.
You
for that ministry. Amen. Praise God. So, I think, I was going to look at my watch and say, at 12 o'clock, it's 12 o'clock.
It is.
At noon.
Hi.
We are going to say, thank you, Lord. We're going to blow the shofar.
Okay.
And pray and give thanks that we are receiving the blessing of a new season of blessings. May the King of Glory, one of the things in the blowing of the trumpet is that you are celebrating the crowning of the King.
Yes.
And we have the King of Glory.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is the King of Glory.
Yes.
Psalm 24 says, let the King of Glory come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, mighty in battle. And he overcame every power
thank
of the
you,
devil.
Lord.
So this morning, we want to say, Lord, thank you that we can rest in what you did on Calvary.
Thank
we don't
you.
Have
thank you, Lord.
To work. We are in that. We have Sabbath rest. That it's not your works of righteousness, but Jesus Christ himself. And he's freed you from every blockage, from every remonstrance or whatever, which makes you feel like, oh, well, I made a mistake here.
Come on.
You made a mistake there. That's right. We are goofy people and make some. How many of you made some goofy mistakes?
Mm. Do we have to raise both hands?
You can raise both hands.
And a foot.
And let none of those torment you anymore.
Yes.
Because the King of Glory has defeated. He is the Lord of hosts.
Hallelujah.
He has overcome the devil.
Yes, yes.
And defeated all the things that will try to make pull you down so you can also walk in victory. And the King of Glory is giving you the strength to do it. So we are, stand up. Let's all stand.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Praise God. We could say more about this high holidays, but I want to just say we want to aggressively get, this is the season where as fresh, with a fresh vision and commitment, we get into worship, into thanksgiving. Welcome into your home. Say, amen. Let the King of Glory amen. Come in and celebrate amen. And shout to him. When you get in your car, start shouting, thanking
you.
The Lord. And don't let
you,
junk, let shadows. Yeah. I believe that yeah. as the Lord is receiving and releasing just fresh power anointed, in the same way the enemy is pouring out his yuck stuff. And people need to help others also to come to the house of the Lord. Let us all get zapped within the spirit of worship and glory afresh. Don't lose. Don't get captured by those little snaky things out there. And you will if you don't stay, I believe, in fellowship. And, man, I'm enjoying the watch. Like it is a new season
yeah.
for me personally. I just get charged
yeah.
in the worship and praise. And this morning, wow, I said I could just stay in that worship.
Lord.
Thank you. Give the worship team a big clap,
yeah.
will you? Thank you.
And that's a good reminder for life groups. You have within your area a life group that is led by seasoned, spirit-filled, joyful, word-grounded, ethical pastoral leaders. So you can thicken your relationship with the community of faith to pray for you, to encourage you, to give you an opportunity to recognize and exercise your gifts and be strengthened in the Lord. And you can start in this worship season celebration by being here tomorrow night with Bishop Robert Stearns right here and bring friends.
Amen. So in faith, get ready.
Hallelujah, Lord.
For great outpouring of a breakthrough season. That this head of the year, this Rosh Hashanah, I'm ready and I'm in increased faith, greater miracles, greater breakthrough season, greater call to worship and joyfully bask in the presence
Hallelujah.
Of God, that we just enjoy the presence and get drunk with the Spirit and get so zapped with joy. So raise your hand.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Say, in this new season.
In this new season.
In this season of the high holidays.
In this season of the high holidays.
As we welcome.
As we welcome.
The new year.
The new year.
We do not depend.
We do not depend
on our own goodness.
On our own goodness.
But we let God.
But we let God
provide Himself.
Provide Himself.
A lamb.
A lamb.
I'm speaking to myself.
I'm speaking to myself.
I'm speaking to the church.
I'm speaking to the church.
I'm speaking for my family.
I'm speaking for my family.
God is providing.
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 For me.
For me.
For my family.
For my family.
He is Jehovah Jireh.
He is Jehovah Jireh.
The Lord.
The Lord.
My provider.
My provider.
His name is Jesus Christ.
His name is Jesus Christ.
I count on the Lamb of God.
I count on the Lamb of God.
I count on His blood.
I count on His blood.
I count on His priestly atonement.
I count on His priestly atonement.
And I choose blessing.
And I choose blessing.
Renounce the curse.
Renounce the curse.
We choose the blessing.
We choose the blessing.
We choose the provision.
We choose the provision.
God is providing.
God is providing.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
I want the shofar blowers. Tom, whoever has the shofar, we're going to blow this shofar blessing over you once again in the feast of trumpets. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.